to turn and jump
to pray. You know, when you've heard the prayers, no doubt, that they listened to that our Lord offered up, they thought about others that had prayed. He reminded them of those that prayed, but their motive for praying was not a good one. It said of the Pharisees that they liked to be seen and heard. They wanted recognition for perhaps those things that they did that marked them out for, as being men of God. And you couldn't help but detect that there was a tremendous amount of difference between the way our Lord prayed and the Pharisees prayed. I think as we read, and we'll read, well, we'll just read part of this 17th chapter because time won't permit us to cover it all. But when you think about it, you read this, I trust you feel the same way I do, but I try to improve on my prayers. Wasn't it Lehman Strauss that wrote that book that tells us about all the foolish things people say in prayer? And to stay focused in your prayers so that what you're saying is in keeping with the one that you are addressing that prayer to. This prayer starts out, Father, our Heavenly Father. And most of us, when we take part publicly, our Heavenly Father, we start that prayer with our Heavenly Father. And that in itself is a heartwarming statement to make, in that we can call the eternal sovereign God of the universe our Heavenly Father. I want us just to read perhaps the first 14 verses, and we'll have some comments to make, but the whole chapter, if you have the time and you take the time, you read it carefully and meditate upon it, and you gather what the Spirit of God will help you to gather regarding the value of this prayer. Never been any prayer like it, because this prayer was uttered by the Son of God. Reading at verse 1 of John 17, these words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And shall we look to the Lord again in a word of prayer? Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we could gather this evening, and our hearts are turned toward thee. We have before us the word of God. We have before us, upon the pages of Scripture, this recorded prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. How moving it is to think that we read these words that he uttered. May we be so responsive to the Spirit of God that we will be teachable and we'll be able to take in the deep significance and meaning of what he has said to us. In this little time together, encourage our hearts, and may all that we say and do here this evening, in this time of looking at the Word and offering up prayer to thee, be for your glory and honor, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, this is that farewell prayer that we have recorded. Comes right after that farewell sermon that our Lord had provided after the institution of the Lord's Supper that our Lord had provided for you and me as a way of remembering him, the communion and fellowship that we can enjoy with him. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. You know, some people think that it's very important what posture you take when you pray, and many might place deep significance upon whether you put your head down or turns your face up. Isn't it wonderful that he hears us no matter what position we get in? There's one thing you be very sure of. If you want God to hear your prayers, you be sure that you keep short accounts with God regarding sin that will touch your life. Again, we quote from Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. You know, that's frightening. To think that there may be Christians today that have offered up prayer, and because of negligence and keeping short accounts with God regarding the sin question, he didn't hear their prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. You see, any sin unconfessed is perpetual. The consequences of it is perpetual. The only way you can remedy that is to confess that sin and forsake that sin. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're talking about fellowship with God. We're talking about communion, keeping the lines open so that when we cry out to him, he hears us. He delights to hear a response from the hearts of those that have been redeemed by the precious blood of his Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked up and he prayed and he said, Father, the hour is come. I noticed the last time I read this that this is the seventh or last time that this statement is made regarding the hour that has come. The hour that has come. The reference to the hour here is to that hour when the Son of God, The one who knew no sin would be made sin for us. That's the hour he's referring to. A lot of us may put a lot of significance on special days in our lives, maybe an hour in time or something that happened, but there's no hour like this hour that has ever crossed the pages of history. The plans and purposes of God were going to be fulfilled in an hour and a time when he would straighten out that horrible problem that has beset all mankind, in that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, in an hour, in a time set aside by God, in which his Son, the beloved Son of God, would hang upon a cross and die under the penalty of our sin, it would draw forth a cry out of his heart, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken for you and for me, beloved, the Son of God. He took the penalty of our sin. He paid the price that God required, had to be paid, if poor sinners like us could be saved and made clean and fit for the presence of God. We exchanged all of that for the righteousness of God being put to our account. Oh, what a wonderful, glorious thought it is at that hour in time, the Son of God. Father, the hour is come. The Father knew all about the hour that was to come. It was planned before time began that the Son of God would one day come into this world and fulfill this divine plan and purposes of God in redeeming poor sinners. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. You know, I thought in connection with that, I have no question about the Son of God glorifying the Father. And here in this one cry, glorify thy Son. There's something going to be displayed. There's something going to be demonstrated. There's something going to be put on display that it has endured 2,000 years. It's a picture when you look at the cross and you look at the Son of God hanging upon that cross. Even the cries that went forth from that cross, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. All of these statements that were made from the cross, sometimes they mystify us. Surely they knew what they were doing. Forgive them, they don't know what they do. But glorify me, thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Well, both things took place. God did glorify his Son. There's something glorious and wonderful about that sacrifice that was made for sin, because it is the fulfillment again of that divine purpose and plan of God. Man has such a tremendous amount of trouble coming to grips with this, and it can only be made real to that person who is willing to respond to the truth of the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to bring conviction into your soul that you are a poor lost sinner. You're separated from God because of your sin, and God is putting in place that which will correct that dreadful problem that we're faced with, alienated from God because of our sins, on the broad road that leads down to destruction. Now we can be reconciled to God through this wonderful, glorious work. Truly, the Son will glorify God, the Father, and in turn, he will be glorified. So thankful today that as believers, we seek to glorify God. By honoring him, we honor his Son. By honoring his Son, we honor him. That's a wonderful thought in itself. That someone that was at one time dead in trespasses and sin is now alive spiritually and can respond and glorify God. I will display the glory of God, the splendor of God in my life. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. Isn't that wonderful? Old things have passed away. The old penalty is gone. No longer dead in trespasses and sins, but now alive unto God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. God is being glorified in what took place in that hour upon the cross. We are possessors of eternal life. Eternal life. It's not just spiritual life, but it's eternal life that we have. We possess life that is unending. The chief end of man is to glorify God. Now we're on the right track. We're on the pathway of righteousness for His name's sake. We will now glorify God. We have eternal life. We are empowered by God to glorify Him. How wonderful that is. You know, we make this statement frequently, that we have forces that are arrayed against us, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, our Lord lived in this same world that we live in. He lived here on the face of the earth. But in these same set of circumstances, sin apart, He glorified God here upon the earth. We perhaps think about a time when we will be transformed into His very likeness, and we will be with Him, and we will be like Him, and then I will truly glorify God. Well, that's true. That's true. But doesn't it excite you that you have the opportunity to glorify God now? I can do something with this little life of mine and with all that He provides. I can glorify God here upon the face of the earth. Not waiting till I get to heaven. I'm not waiting till I get to those heavenly realms. I will glorify God here on the earth. Our Lord could say that because He says, I finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. I didn't leave anything unfinished. Those people that think that something else has got to be done to save your soul, they really don't know what they're talking about. If they would only read the Word of God, they would soon discover that there is complete forgiveness of all of our sins. Our sin and its penalty has been put away from the view of God forever. Think about as far as the east is from the west is the way the psalmist puts that. In view of all of that, in the fifth verse, he says, Now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Have you ever, in your sanctified imagination, based upon the Word of God, tried to come to grips with what the Son of God, those realms that He lived in, where He dwelt in the presence of God, the glory that was His? You remember Isaiah? And coming into the presence of God, he fell upon his face. The glory of God so filled that temple. Isn't it strange that, well, not strange, but it's a miracle that God could be glorified in something so insignificant as one human life. It seems that like such a small realm to bring glory to God. But God delights in using small things, and we are small things. We're just little specks. When we consider this universe and the earth we live on, a speck of dust, and if this world we live on is just a speck of dust, what does that make us? And in these little insignificant lives, as we pass through this earthly scene, we can glorify God. The Lord Jesus Christ glorified the Father in every way. We're reminded from Scripture that indeed what that glory was like for Him before, what that glory was like for Him before He made His earthly visit and departed and went back, and He's coming again, as we were saying together tonight. Isn't it wonderful to know that glory will be added to glory? When He sees you and me, the church, the body of Christ, made up of every little insignificant member that glorified Him here upon the face of the earth, and there we are, the bride of Christ. We're there at the marriage feast of the Lamb. And we are glorifying Him. His glory, He has been magnified beyond human comprehension. Just can't take it in. He did manifest the name of God in every way. He honored God in everything that He did. I think about it so often. He never took a step. He never did an act. He never had a thought that was not right in the center of God's will. My will is to do the will of Him that sent me. Would to God we could say that. I've never acted independent of the will of God. That would mean that you've never acted contrary to what has been revealed in the Word of God. He ever did the will of the Father. The displayed splendor of God was seen in the life and all that the Son of God did. He has given us His words. He gave them to us. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He gave us the Word of God. If we're weak and if we're lacking in understanding of the mind and the will of God, is not His fault. It's not God's fault. To be willfully ignorant as a believer of the will of God and the direction God would have for our lives is something that it should frighten us. I don't want that to happen to me. I want to do the will of God. I want to glorify God in my life. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love the world, but that intercessory work that's being carried on right now, the Lord Jesus is praying for us. His focus is upon us, believers. He knows all about. He has walked where we walk today. He identifies with us. He's the one that learned obedience through the things that He suffered. He knows anything and everything about anything we will ever experience. And He's praying for us. His intercessory prayers, the one that sits at the right hand of God, the one that glorifies God in every way. Indeed, He's praying for us. That's a special blessing in itself. It should cause us to rejoice tonight to know that our Savior is praying for us. It should come as a warning to those that are in the world that procrastinate for a variety of reasons, have not yet trusted the Savior. I warn you, I tell people that I witnessed too, He's not going to do anything else to save you. He's done everything that needs to be done to save your soul. The next move is up to you. He's not going to do anything else. It's already been done. It's a finished work. My Lord said upon the cross, it is finished. Never have to be done again. And we are safe and secure in Him. We all belong to the Lord if we belong to Him and we trusted Him. And my Lord says, I'm glorified in them. I hope every one of us is contributing to glorifying God as those that have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. Don't ever believe anything anyone ever tells you, that what he did upon the cross was not a finished work. And those that are in Christ are saved eternally. No such thing as losing your salvation. Can't lose something that is eternal, something that is bound up in the plans and the purposes of God. It's been sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, how wonderful to examine this prayer and to have all of these things flow through our little minds, hearts, and souls, and realize that we can glorify God, the Father, the same way our Lord glorified Him. You know, God forbid that we would ever take pleasure in sin. I started off by saying, if we fail to confess our sin, the psalmist said, those that give any place to sin in their hearts and will not confess it, God doesn't hear you. Everything is shut down, and it's going to stay shut down until that soul responds to the convicting power of the Spirit of God and says, I have sinned, I have committed sin, and I'm confessing that sin. It's not a matter of relationship, it's fellowship, brother and sister. If we want fellowship with Him in prayer, we must be sure there's no unconfessed sin in our lives. Word of God says, walk in the Spirit and fulfill not the lust of the flesh. Well, that's a good solid statement, isn't it? Walk in the Spirit. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And not by the works of the flesh. Just a little line of a poem, bless Jesus, intercede for us that we may fall no more. Oh, raise us when we prostrate lie, and comfort loss restore. To be comforted by the Savior that loved us and died for us. You know, He loves us so much. He says He loved us to the very end. And He still loves us. And He's still praying for us. And now we're going to have a season of prayer.
Thank you, Bob. Very good. It's good to see everybody out tonight, and hope you have your prayer requests for September. And before we start our prayer time, I'd like to read something, an excerpt from a booklet or magazine or a newsletter I got today in the mail. Maybe some of you have heard of Ravi Zacharias, who's a Christian apologist and evangelist, and he has a program on BBN, on radio, that you can listen to weekly, and Rob gets to speak mostly at colleges and universities to preach the gospel to those in academia. He also gets to go travel all around the world to different countries and different venues and speak to various groups of people. He's spoken to a number of groups: Muslims, Buddhists, Jews, atheists. He'll speak to anybody and to preach the gospel. And this is an excerpt I'd like for you to read. And I read this as encouragement to us in our Christian walk, in our daily walk with the Lord. He says, I recall a little roadside restaurant in an Asian city. No ambience was provided. You had to bring your own with you. I ate most of my meals there, and I enjoyed chatting with the employees in that little facility. Well, I would not take too many of my friends in there for reasons of health. I was raised with such risks and actually loved those settings. On the last day I was there, I asked the man in charge. A manager would be a rather exalted title in such a Spartan structure, with a leaking roof and much that I was sure was better left unseen than seen. How many work here? About 10, he said. I put my hand into my pocket and took out what I had saved by not eating in my hotel and gave it to him, asking him to distribute it among the 10 men. There was a shocked look on his face. A couple of the staff stopped what they were doing to get a glimpse of what I had given them. Then he said, "Why, sir, why do you do this? I am a follower of the Lord Jesus, and I want to share his love with you." No one in that restaurant came from a Christian background, and the silence was even more pronounced than their questions. That happened over 2 years ago. I still receive letters from one of them called Ishmael. He says the same thing in each letter. "I will never forget you. Please come back and visit our restaurant. We want to serve you again." Only eternity will reveal how deep and how real such an impact is. But our calling is clear, to let our light so shine that men, women, and children will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Isn't that a great, wonderful thing? You know, Ravi had this opportunity to minister the love of Christ, and I like the response that he gave those people in the restaurant when he said, "I am a follower of the Lord Jesus, and I want to share his love with you. I want to share his love with you." You know, we all have opportunities in our lives as believers, as God's people, to share his love with other people on a daily basis in our daily routine. And sometimes we close our eyes. You know, as I read this afternoon, I was thinking, well, you know, I think of all those times that I closed my eyes to the times that I could have ministered the love of God in those opportunities that he gave me, and I failed to do so. But, you know, I read this as an encouragement to you and to me to be encouraged in our walk as believers. If we have an opportunity to show the love of Christ, we should do it. We should do it. And on our prayer list this morning or tonight, there is a number on our list that are unsaved that we have continued to pray for. We have a number of names on that list that were read last week by Gene. Some of those people we don't know. Some of the people there we do know. We have Ben and Mary Amshay, Ted and Sylvia Holloman, Tal Gower mentioned there. Derek Love and Bo Wells and Claude Browning. A number of other names are mentioned on that list. These people need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. We've been praying for them, and we should continue to pray for them. They need the Savior. You know, people here at Northgate Chapel prayed for me before I knew the Lord. They prayed for my salvation. God answered their prayer, and 25 years ago. And we should pray for these people here on our list. I'd like to ask some brother to lead us in prayer right now for all these names that are mentioned on our list of unsaved people who need the Savior. Would somebody lead us in prayer for these right now?
Our Father, we thank thee. Precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus for eternal life that we have through the shed blood of our Savior. And we thank thee for the fact that he's coming back to be with him. And Father, tonight as we gather here, the names that are on this list of the unsaved are before us each Wednesday and through the week. And they have been on the hearts of others, Father, who have placed their names on this list. And we would desire our Father tonight to see every one of them saved. It would be our prayer to thee, our Father, that thy Spirit might convict each and every one that is on that list. And others I know that are in the hearts of thy people, even our own family, that are not saved. It would be our prayer, Father, that thou would convict them of sin, of a need for the Savior, that they may come to that saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus. we surely believe that our Savior is coming back soon, even maybe before we leave here tonight. And so we pray that these souls might be burdened, that thy Spirit might convict us in a real way. We give thanks for our Savior and for the finished work of Calvary as we ask these things in his own precious name. Amen.
Amen. We also have on our prayer list mentioned that we should pray for Northgate Chapel and the elders for wisdom and guidance. And also is mentioned our Sunday school with Don Amshay being our Sunday school superintendent. Our Awana Club, we should pray for that, outreach to the boys and girls. And we also have a picnic coming up Saturday with a chance to meet some of the Awana parents and have fellowship with one another at our picnic this coming Saturday. We should be in prayer for that. And I'd like to ask somebody to, before we get, also let me mention this also, there is also on our list our missionaries that we should pray for, the Vargases, the Thralls, the Tillmans, the Durham Rescue Mission, Pepe Barrios, the Deckers, the Andersons, the Hartley family. We should also remember those. Are there any more you want to add to that list, missionaries or anything else we should pray for right now? If not, I'll ask somebody to, some brother to pray for these. Pray for the elders here at Northgate Chapel. We need your guidance, or we need your prayers for guidance and wisdom. Let's pray for our Sunday school and the Awana Club and all of our missionaries that are mentioned on our list. The Vargases, who are in Spain, we should remember them especially, too. Yes.